Hello. You're listening to Speaking of Urology, the official podcast for Urology Times. In keeping with our commitment to deliver urologists and allied health professionals expert clinical analysis, practice advice, and policy perspectives, each episode of Speaking of Urology will bring listeners timely and informative insights from leaders in the specialty to keep practitioners up to date while helping them practice more efficiently. I'm your host, Ben Saylor. For this episode, we bring you the second installment of Urology Times editorial consultant Dr. J. Brantley Thrasher's recent interview with Dr. Samuel J. Peretzman regarding high-intensity focused ultrasound. In the interview, Peretzman explains what he tells patients undergoing HIFU to expect postoperatively. Peretzman is with Urology Specialists of the Carolinas in Charlotte, North Carolina, and Thrasher is Executive Director of the American Board of Urology.
Talk to me about the expectations of the patients. They come in, they're talking to you about the procedure. What do you tell them to expect post-op? So you tell them, this is what happens in the operating room, you're asleep. What can they expect? Outpatient procedure, what to do afterwards, et cetera.
Yeah, so it's done as an outpatient, it's painless. You don't get pain medicine. You get some urgency from the heat right after the procedure for a couple hours. You would have to break in at the whole gland versus targeted as far as how we manage them, suprapubic tube, Foley. I just saw my three HIFUs from last Friday. You know, one's Foley came out in just a few days, but that was a hemiablation in a young guy. It was only a 23cc prostate. We treated one side. You take on a 40-gram prostate. You can see swelling in the course of the procedure. Some people I might leave an SP in and not even have a voiding trial for 10 to 12 days. If I can just see, you know, it's swollen, it takes time for that edema to go away. You can't rush it. So I try to give them honest expectations, but what I really try to get them to understand, because in my practice, you know, I've just got decades of radical prostatectomy, of different approaches, brachytherapy, cryo. We do IMRT in the community. They're picking it in lieu of picking something else. So they just need to understand what they're gaining and what they're giving up. So the two things unequivocally demonstrated in the literature for over 20 years, when you pick HIFU, are going to be you're picking up some obstructive symptoms potentially, and you can pick up infield recurrences like you could with radiation or cryo. You can't have an infield recurrence with a robotic prostatectomy. So you need to understand that's what you're inheriting, but what you're gaining is the lack of morbidity. You know, we had, well, it wasn't in person, but we had an abstract at the EAU, been accepted for publication of our first 100 hemiablations, my group and myself and USC combined. And incontinence measured is anything greater than zero pads was zero in 100 consecutive patients. IEF5 dropped 1 point. So the patients are seeking diminished morbidity, but it comes at a price. I personally don't view obstructive problems as a complication of the therapy. I build it into the expectation. If you don't want to be ever looking at an IPP, an artificial sphincter, a post-op sling, you've got to get through the short-term recovery of HIFU. And, you know, I think I'm known in the community as a very aggressive HIFU surgeon as far as how much tissue I treat and how much swelling I'm willing to create, because I just consider it a short-term nuisance, and that's how I counsel the patients.
Do you generally give alpha blockers or anticholinergics post-op?
They all get alpha blockers. Realistically, that might help the bladder neck. I'm not really sure what it does for thermal necrosis, but they do get it. And they only get anticholinergics or mebetric if they have kind of prolonged irritative symptoms, which is uncommon. If there's 10 problems post-op, 10 of them are going to be mechanical weakening of the stream.
What do you tell them about the risk to the bladder or bowel when you compare it to non-surgical treatment? So you're counseling the patients. What sort of percentages do you tell them?
Yeah, so, you know, that would differentiate between other thermal therapies, cryo or surgery, or any type of ionizing radiation. So unlike any type of ionizing radiation, there's no delayed bladder, rectum, or urethral issues. You can't get a secondary malignancy. You're not going to be getting a clot of ACFR, gross hematuria years later. Those things can't happen. The fistula rate is about 0.7%, although most of that's in post-radiation patients. I've never had one. But we do cite it. It can't be zero. It's a thermal ablation. And compared to surgery, let's just stick with a robotic-assisted radical prostatectomy is the most common in this country. There can't be any intra-abdominal issues. You know, there's no ileus. There's never an obstruction. Nobody's ever going to end up with a rectal injury and a colostomy realistically. It's really going to be obstructive, sort of prolonged obstructive symptoms based on how much tissue you ablate.
What do you say about incontinence and the risk of erectile dysfunction then?
To the best of my due diligence, there's never been an AUS placed for a HIFU patient in the United States or actually ever sold by AMS or Boston Scientific. I am aware of one sling. I've done a sling on a patient treated out of the country who got a lot of apical heat and kind of a membranous stenosis that elsewhere was cut instead of dilated, and he got some mild ISD. So it's close to a zero. And in our personal experience, when we looked at the first 174 in this country, it was zero. Erectile dysfunction is a bit of an issue because of the variation of the delivery of the technique. If you looked at European erectile dysfunction in the 1990s and 2000s in their publications, it to me is remarkably high. You're talking about ED of 40 to 60% with whole gland HIFU. But part of it is they made no effort to spare it. So they kind of got what they created. Once in this country, the technique is erect nerve sparing, basically blood vessel sparing. Mm-hmm. And so typically I tell patients 0 to 20% and you should recover most of it. The exception would be if you hand us a large lesion along the neurovascular bundle, because we can kill a nerve and blood vessel with sufficient heat. So if we target it, you're going to lose it. But if we don't target it, it should be very mild and transient.
Be sure to subscribe to Speaking of Urology on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps. And you can get the latest in urology news, practice management advice, and health policy updates by visiting www.urologytimes.com. Thank you for listening.